where we believe what we can see, the tangible, the visible is what must really be. Yet he who would be wise must see with different eyes. We live by faith where miracles should come as no surprise. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe the promises he gave us in his word. I don't need to know the outcome of his plans. I will trust his ways, though I can't see his hand. We're looking for a city that's not made by human hands. We're living for a purpose that so far exceeds our plans. When trials take their tolls beyond what we control, we rest upon the faithful one, the keeper of our souls. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe the promises he gave us in his word. I don't need to know the outcome of his plans. I will trust his ways, though I can't see his hand. I will trust his ways, though I can't see his hand.
Thank you. Let's stand together. Thank you for that. Music's been great. Let's all stand and grab our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Let me mention a couple of things as you're finding Mark chapter 12. I don't know if you noticed out here, but we ripped up the sidewalk coming in from the parking. Of course, most of you wouldn't know that because you all park offside anyhow. But for those of you that don't, by the way, I did not say anything to Brother Fisher Thursday night if you were here. I said nothing about parking. That was from him. That had nothing to do with me, because you can park wherever you want as long as it's not on the property. But back here, we're ripping that out. What we're doing is we're not doing the outside yet when it comes to finish up. The outside's kind of the end. There's really not much to do. You'll find out what's left to do on the dinner series. But we're preparing for summer family nights. We've not had a summer family nights like we've had in the past because we just haven't. Last year, we didn't even have a parking lot. And so one thing we want to do is we want to put the new walkway in there, and then that left side, we're going to put the finished concrete on that, and we'll put the children's playground. Is that, what's that deal called? The swings, whatever it is. Playset. We're going to put that back where it goes, and we'll put some tables and chairs for the adults to fellowship. And then this summer, we're going to have we're already looking forward to the summer. We're going to have a great family nights. We'll have we have more parking lot space now back there for this. We'll have the children's basketball. We'll have some volleyball for the adults. We'll have another little play area for the children here. We'll have a handball in the corner for them. And so we'll have a great time. But that's what we're doing. We're going to go ahead and concrete that. So thank you for your patience as we get through another project. And then Brother Snakenberg finished up our plumbing. And the plumbing inspector came this week and gave the word. It's good. So now if you go in the building, other than the gymnasium, we've only drywalled one side of the walls because we had to get that done. That's done. So now we can drywall. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Dinner series, we're going to explain all that, and it's going to be good. Okay, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. We're going to read two stories here, and then we'll make a few comments, and we'll get out of here. You can go to lunch. verse 41 of Mark 12. It says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Just to let you know, we don't have people like that in our church yet, okay? Still praying they come by. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want," which means lack, "did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Flip over two chapters, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We'll read verses 3 to 9. We'll pray. We'll let you be seated. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation among them within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. And she hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning. I pray you bless our few minutes as we look at this subject, very specifically, Lord, applied to our building in the next couple weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're a couple minutes later than normal. I'll talk a little faster. We're not going to be here late, but I want you to get this. We're still in our series on what did Jesus do? And we're looking past the media hype and all the Christian marketing to really find out what did Jesus really do on this earth. Here, and by the way, I apologize if you're newer, the message is going to apply mostly to our building situation and our upcoming offering. If you're new here, we're not trying to fleece you or shake you upside down and get every penny out of you. That's not our goal. And so I would sure you understand that if we're building a building, as Brother Jerry was very specific, helped us with, and many of our other testimonies, that it's our responsibility. We don't have a gut. We're not part of a denomination where the money comes in to pay for the building. It's us all working together to get that building up. So I just want to talk a little bit about that. So please don't think that we're trying to shake you down or anything. We want to talk about our building. But here in this gospel, we have two different stories that deal with Jesus and individuals who gave of their money and their resources. Now, one gave very little. The widow's mites basically would come up to about a penny. That's about it. The other gave a year's wages. Now, although she was not rich, she gave a year's wages. So the size of the gifts are different. But Jesus noticed their sacrifice and their giving. The first story is of the widow's mite. She's in the temple, and they had 13 offering boxes there in that portion of the temple where Jesus was at. He's sitting there, and he's watching them give, and he sees this lady come in and throw in, boom, the two mites, and it's not much. And Jesus notices that. He didn't notice or say anything when everybody was coming in, dropping in boatloads of money, and the rich were dropping in a lot of money. But when he saw this lady give, he basically said, he called his guys over and said, "I want you to check this out. Look what she gave." He noticed that. The rich gave of their abundance, money that wouldn't even be missed because of their vast resources. But Jesus honed in on this lady because she gave everything she had. The second story is the one about a lady who gave a very expensive gift. This gift is also commended. Now, by the way, the lady's not mentioned here, but later on in one of the other Gospels, it's mentioned it's Mary. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Mary was the one who sat at Jesus' feet while Martha served. They're in the home of Simon the leper. Now, Simon must not have been a leper at that time. He obviously must have been healed, because if he had not been healed, he would not have been home. He would have had to be out where the lepers were confined so that it doesn't spread. She comes with this alabaster box of spikenard, which is a very expensive ointment, and even the box is very nice, and she pours it on Jesus, and it's more looking towards his death, as Jesus mentioned that, because he was soon to be to die on the cross. And then those that were there got very upset. There were some of them that word indignant means very mad, and they're getting on her, and Jesus basically directly answers them and tells them to be quiet and says that what she done is such an important thing that it's going to be mentioned for whenever the gospel's preached. This story is going to be told of as a memorial to her, and the fact that we're talking about it several thousand years later tells us that it's true. The point I want to make in the brief time I have this morning is that even though these are two different situations and two different types of giving, two different types of individual, Jesus noticed the giving. Now, he noticed it from two different perspectives. Let me say this. Giving and sacrifice are important. Whether it's monetarily, that'll be kind of our application today as we look to our building offering Sunday in 2 weeks. But that's anything we give. Give of our time. Give of our talent. Give of ourselves. Jesus notices it. I want to notice two things about the two specific stories. And then the last point, I just want to make a couple words of specific application to us. I would say first this. Jesus noticed the one who gave much. He saw it as a service. In verse 6 in the story of Mary there, Jesus said, "Let her alone, while trouble ye her, she hath wrought a good work on me." Now, he says that what she did was kind of like a memorial and pointing towards anointing him towards his soon coming death and burial. But what he said is, she did a work upon me. He saw that. What was this work she did in giving? I want you to notice it was an act of worship. If you look at Mark chapter 14 again, you have your finger there. In verse 3 says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as she sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And then he told it why. She came to anoint him for his burying." But the point was, what she did was directly for the Lord. That's why she did it. It wasn't something for, you know, I'm giving towards a project, I'm giving towards. It was, in her mind, her giving was directly directed at Jesus Christ. It was an act of worship to her. We talk much about worship in our time. You know, if someone talks about worship, you think about primarily two things. You think about the music type of the church, and usually not really the most godly type of music, but we think music is worship, which it's not. Okay, worship is ascribing worth to the Lord. Okay, now it can lead us to worship, and so we think of that, or we think of a worship service where everybody is quiet, and there's candles lit. That's not worship. That's boring. Okay, worship is an attitude of the heart. Worship is an attitude of the Lord is important to me, and this was an act of importance. This is an act of worship because what she was saying is, I am giving to the Lord. I'm giving it to him. That talks about the principle of motive. Why do we do the things that we do? I try to, in my mind, go through a little mental discipline, and we give each and every week as God commands us to in the offering. But when I do that, I'm not giving it to the church. I'm not writing that check out for anybody. When I do that, I subconsciously tell myself, I'm doing that for the Lord. Has nothing to do about anything else. Now, I'm hoping and I know it will, it'll be used in the church to do some good and reach some people and help some people and keep the ministry going here, and I do it because I'm supposed to, but I'm doing that for the Lord. I want that to be my motivation. Sometimes people do things out of the wrong type of motivation. Sometimes people do things, even spiritually speaking, out of fear. We think, what will happen if I don't give, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do? And by the way, there's an element of that. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, and that's not being deathly afraid. It's just realizing I'm accountable to God. But you know, that's ultimately not a good reason to do things for God. Not ultimate. Fear. Sometimes we do it out of greed. What do I mean by greed? I mean, I'm doing it because of what I'll get out of it. So when I'm doing something for God, I'm doing it primarily motivated, hoping it will kick back to me. Now, I've said it on many occasions. I believe, and I tithe and I give. If I tithe and I give, God meets my needs. And you know what? God always has. Even in the times when we've had really tough financial struggles. But even at those times, I'm not giving so God will just give back to me. Even though God has promises in his word of blessing me. I try to say I'm giving because I want to give for the Lord. Okay? So let's not do it with greed. But the best way to do it is out of love. I just love you, Jesus. I love you, God. And I know you tell me to do certain things. And I'm doing it because you tell me to do it. But deep down in my heart, my motive is I love you. I read a small little book. I was reading some books on giving and so forth as preparing for some things. And the book had an unusual story. It's something about a donut. And it's like a plastic donut. I'm like, what does that have to do with giving? But it had good reviews, so I got it. And the whole point of the story is this. The guy said he was sitting, and if you have children, this has happened to you. You know, you're sitting there, and his little 18-month-old daughter was playing with her toys, and she came over and handed him a plastic donut. Now, if you're like him, and I've done this with my children, you're like, wow, thanks. How many ever do? And this is the greatest thing on earth. And he said, I'm going to eat this right now. And he started acting like it's eating it. And he said, he looked at the girl's face, and all of a sudden, she was happy. She's like, and she ran out of the room, and she came back with another toy. Said, here, take this. And he acted all happy about it, like, ah. Little girl waddled out, ran out of the room, boom. Came back, gave him another toy. We had a new kid in the daycare one time, one of the little girls, and she wasn't smiling very much, and I came home one time, so I tried to be nice to her, and she had a toy. I said, let me see that toy. She showed me a toy. I'm like, wow, that's neat. The next day I came home, she ran up, you know, showing me a toy. I'm like, I don't know, do this every day, all right? You know, I'm busy. Go show my wife. She's a daycare provider. But I was just trying to be nice. But this guy said, it struck me. Why did my little girl keep going now and bringing me toy after toy after toy? What motivated her? He said, you know what motivated her? Because she saw it made me happy. She saw I enjoyed it. And when she saw that, she wanted to do something else for me. Do you understand whenever we give or do something for God as an act of worship, he likes it. Oh, yeah. And so our ultimate goal ought to be not what it's doing for us, although it does things for us. It's because what does it do for God? Yeah. It was worship. I also want you to notice their gift. It wasn't wasteful. Verse 4, and there were some that had indignation among themselves within themselves and said, why was this waste? They said, you wasted that ointment. That's a year's pay. And then they started getting on her. Jesus said, hey, stop it. Don't treat her like that. She's done a good work. Isn't that something sometimes we give and it's like, what could I have done with that money? What could I, you're working in the nursery or you're working at stuff. What else could I have done with that time? By the way, it's not a waste. It's investment. Anything we do for God, you know, so, well, you know, I'll give my Sunday morning to Jesus. I'll sacrifice that. It's not a sacrifice. That's not a waste. You're doing something spiritually minded. You're doing something for the Lord. And whenever we do anything for the Lord, look, don't let people chirp at you. I can't believe you give money for the building. I can't believe you do this. Because we're not thinking outside of ourselves. It's not a waste. I'm giving it to God so it'll accomplish his will. It's never a loss. We got to get past that me and mine type of thing. And then I want you to see that she was willing. It says that she hath done what she could. She wasn't coerced. Wasn't beat over the head. Say, well, you know, and I'm being honest this morning, so bear with me. If you're new, it's just, we're not like this every week. Come back in a few weeks and we'll talk about something that helps you. But well, I feel compelled to give because you're banging us over the head. I'm not trying to bang you over the head. I want you to be open to what God wants you to do. That's all. That's all. I think we ought to all, look, I think in every area of our life, well, let's just take it out. Let's take the money. Let's set it here for a second. I think in every area of our life, we ought to be willing just to do whatever God would want us to do. Right? You know, as a new Christian, I found things in my life that I was doing that was not godly and it was not biblical. And I saw actually the Bible said don't do that. And I'm like, God said don't do it. I'm willing. I'm not doing it anymore. Amen. What do I do with my life? Why am I where I'm at? I'm just willing. Wherever God wants me to be, I'll do it. If God wanted me to be a truck driver, I'd be a truck driver. If God wanted me to be a garbage man, I'd be a garbage man. You know, whatever, God. I just think that we ought to be willing. See, sometimes we have, sometimes what we do is based on what we see others do. Right? Well, I'm not, you know, I did more. I'm the same as him. I ain't doing any more. You know, that's a union mentality. I worked in a union before, and I'm not, if you work in a union, I'm not against unions. But I know how it is. We got in there, and it was, you're on a 30-day probation. They want to see how you work. And I got hired in there. I had 30-day probation. I was fortunate. After 30 days, they hired me full-time. But we would always joke around, and we knew when a guy was on probation because he was working hard. And, you know, we always knew when a guy was made full-time. We worked in a warehouse, so it was hustle. Go get the orders out and get them over here. And as soon as they were hired full-time, it's like that thing didn't go very fast anymore. Okay? Because I'll be honest with you. We all made the same pay regardless. We got up to that one pay scale, and every year we got the same raise. It was not based on our performance. Sometimes we get that mentality. Well, you know, our brother over here only does. Listen, it's not about him. It's not about her. What does God want me to do? I'm just willing to do whatever God wants me to do. So that's her. Number two, I want you to see. Notice, Jesus noticed the one who gave little. What did he notice about her? She really sacrificed. First of all, he noticed the difference in her gift and the others. Now, I'm not, you know, he wasn't condemning the people that gave much. He was just saying that was a tip for them. But he said, there's a difference in the giving here. You know, by the way, the difference is the difference we would think. We would think in the difference in the amount. He said, no. He says, look, there's something going on here. It's a statement of fact. By the way, let me say this. All of us are different. Brother Jerry mentioned, you know, we don't all get the same. That's not the point there. We all have different personalities. We all have different schedules. We all have different tastes, social, whatever. We're all different. There was a difference there, but he's going to commend one. That doesn't make what we do, I'll tell you the differentiating thing in a minute here, better than anybody else. See, we can't measure. We try to measure who's doing more, who's doing this. We don't know this side of heaven. But there was a difference, and Jesus noticed it. He also gave a description of the difference. He called unto his disciples and said, verily I say, this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. So there's a huge difference. You see, her giving compared to their gifts was insignificant. It was small. It didn't mean very much. And probably the priests were there, and they were into the big gifts, right? Hey, look at these guys. They're dropping in money. That's our guys. And this little widow would come by. It's like, oh, that's insignificant. That doesn't make a difference. Can I just tell you something? It does. That's why Jesus commended it. In fact, he pulled his guys over. Hey, come here, guys. I want you to see this. This is something you got to take notice of. Must have shocked the disciples because they're like, well, what? This is poor widow woman. What about those guys? They were dropping in cash after cash. What's that all about? Many years ago, I saw a documentary. It was about, I think it was called Stingy in America. And At that time, it was probably 5-6 years ago, all these billionaires were into this thing where, you know, they're leaving a legacy. So a lot of them were giving their money away. And one of them was set up. This guy brought him in, and he was worth $8 billion. And he said, "Hey, man, we're talking to you about your gift." He gave $1 billion away. And they're talking to him about that. And he's, "I just feel this time of my life, I need to do things for others and invest in some other organizations and the charitable organizations." And the guy goes, "Well, why did you only give $1 billion? You're worth $8 billion. You have $7 billion left." It kind of caught the guy off guard. And here's what he said. Well, he goes, "Well, I still have to live." Really? $7 billion? A lot of people could live off of that. The point is, and by the way, it's his money. He can give it how he wants. The point is, and the point that Jesus was making here is that there was a difference in what was left. The widow gave everything she had. But sometimes we're not motivated to give because we don't think what we give can make a difference. And by the way, Jesus can use anything. And again, if it's an act of worship and it's an act of love, that's insignificant. But it can make a difference. I won't go through the whole story. I think I've given it here before, and I saw this on Temple University's website. But Temple University started out of a church. I think it's in Philadelphia. And there was a church, and the pastor's name was Russell Conwell in the early 1900s. And there was a little girl named Hattie Mae Wyatt. And the church was very crowded. It was crowded to the point to where actually some people that would come for church were turned away. They had nowhere to put them. And I believe on one occasion this little girl was one of the ones that was turned away. And she in her mind, the church needed a new building. So she decided on her own that she would start saving money to help the church get a new building. A couple years later, or a year or two later, this little girl contracted a disease and she died. And the mother came to the pastor and told him the story. Said she gave him a piggy bank type thing and said, "You know, my daughter several years ago started saving money for you to have a new church." And the girl had 57 cents. That's it. But that pastor took that 57 cents and they created a society or a foundational club out of that that started using that as a baseboard to jump forward to start raising money. They raised money for an education wing. That organization raised money to eventually build a hospital there. But that whole organization started because a little girl put 57 cents. You don't know what our little gift can do. He also showed the determination here. Verse 44, he said, "For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." You see, the difference is not in the amount. The difference is not in any of that. The difference is what degree of sacrifice was it? That's what the difference is. We're all at different scales. We think of serving the Lord and doing things in the church. Some of us have more time than others to invest. Some don't work as many hours. When it comes to financial, helping the building, some have more resources than others. That's why we always say it's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. See, what God pulls in is, like, listen, the point of the story is the sacrifice. Now, by the way, let me say this to some of us. And I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's given. Some of us in that story, and this is for some of us who have been Christians for a while, we get too stuck on the mites. The story is not about the mites. It's about the sacrifice. And I hope, and I try not to do this in my life, that I don't bring, well, you know, and I just talked about a little, and a little is much if God is in it. I get that. But some of us can do more, but we settle on less. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying that's why we've talked much, particularly in regards to our building. And again, if you're newer, it's our building. This is our building campaign. Please be patient with us here. But we've talked in our building about revelational type giving, not reason. In other words, revelational type giving is, God, what can you give through me? What do you want me to give? We've asked adults in our church to pray about a minimum of $1,000 per adult on that Sunday. But I'll just be honest with you. For my family, that's too low. That bar's too low. I'm just telling you. Now, that's where we're at. I heard a story. Brother Joseph told me somebody was in his class, I believe, and I'm not, I don't know who you are, so I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but they were striving for that $1,000. I think they only had half of it. And they prayed, Lord, I'd like to get to that 1,000. And by the way, if that's all they had and they couldn't get to the 1,000, that's their widow's mite. But they prayed and God provided the rest of the money. Okay? For us, I try to be good with our finances. And by the way, we're like many of you are in the last year, our finances have taken a hit. We have. We're not making, right now, we're not making near as much as we made last year at the same time, which is, we're fine. But $1,000 for us would not be widow's mite. Okay? And I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to get an amount here, so please understand what I'm saying. For we start out $5,000, we'll give more. But the point is, let's not get so fixated on that. What would God allow us to give? See, that's the point. Now, having said these stories, let me just give you a couple points specifically to our campaign. Give me 2 or 3 minutes, we'll be done. I would say this, don't settle in on the amount as much as the sacrifice. What could I do if I really, just really tune in with God and say, what does he want us to do? Listen, we're 1.25 million. That's where we're at. And this is a dinner series. We'll give you some specifics in a dinner series. And we'll be in there. And listen, we can't keep doing what we've been doing here. It's not being negative. It's hurting us. And it's not anybody's fault. This is where God has us, and God's going to take us through. But what I'm saying is we need that prayer and that revelation. God, what do you want us to do? Because I think if we're open to God, it allows God to do miraculous things. But let's do that. Let it be, ask God and pray for you to be able to do more. Now, if you can't, you can't. Right? Lord, what can I do? I'm praying that you allow me, but a lot of our testimonies have been, we're going to give the same as last year or whatever, and more as the Lord enables. And that's what we want. If God enables us, that's what we want to do. And I also believe this. If we are like Mary, let's kick back to the first story, who she hath done what she could, I think if we do all that we can, I think God's going to help us get the rest. When? I don't know. I wish it was yesterday, to be honest with you. Say, when would you like to have that building done? I'll tell you when I would like to have that building done. 2014. Okay. That's me. And unfortunately, this may come as a shock. I am not God. In fact, my wife tells me I'm the opposite. Okay. Just kidding. And then, having said all that, let me say this to us. Just all of us try to be involved in some way. Amen. Just all involved in some way. Your family's going to give more than $5,000. That's me. I didn't say that's you. By the way, we're not going to, you know, what are you doing? No, we all work together. Hey, some can give more. Let's just all do what God will allow all of us to do. Amen. And God will use that to help us get in that building. I think if we're not careful, we lose our vision for being in the building. I mentioned I was with the staff. I was at pastor's conference, Brother Trevor's church, and should have been a blessing, Brother Pineda, but as I walked to the building, it's like, I wish our building was like that. I wish we were in a nice building like that. I'm like, man, it's going, I just, Then I came back here, and I walked to the building, I'm like, we're getting there. We're gonna have that. By the way, he had it about, 10 years? Yeah, so don't, that's not unusual. We're going to get there. Just all of us doing our part, do what we can, that's it. Well, I can't do as much as others, but I'm doing what I can, that's it. Amen. She hath done what she could. God doesn't expect us to do what we can't. Well, I can't do that. And God doesn't expect you to do it. That was good. No, I'm kidding. That's nothing fancy about that. All you can do is what God allows you to do. And pray and see what God will do. And I think God can do wonderful things. Whether it's our money, whether it's in the work, the physical work we do in the church, the ministry that we do in our church, we're doing what we can. Let's all stand together this morning.